Hello and welcome to Should Be Known. I'm Clayton Pixton. Well, sometimes I can talk while I play, and it's not working out so good this time. Maybe that's because it's in 5/4, maybe that's because I just need to do one thing at a time. Welcome to the Should Be Known podcast. This is episode 5. And today, I would like to talk about just a few examples of self-deception and try to kind of help the listener understand kind of the scope of this problem, you might say, but it's not really a problem. It's just how life works. It's meant to be this way. And of course, it's everything that's self-deception and darkness and, sin. And that's not the equivalent, by the way. Sin is only what we're accountable. This is how I see it. Sin is what we're accountable for. And, self-deception is something, it's just part of life. And I think some people mistakenly think that we're kind of accountable for it and that it's a result of our agency. And I just don't think that's right. And I'm not sure how to explain why, but we're working on that together. How I see this podcast going is that I'm not at the end of the road, intellectually with this thing. I hope to kind of bring you with me, but I hope to contribute something every time I speak with you, shall we put it that way. And it's good to be with you. As I record this, I haven't quite gotten my episodes online, so that'll be interesting. And so far, they're all about this one subject, so I don't know if Should Be Known will end up just being about this subject. I don't really mean for it to be, but it almost could be. You could have a dedicated podcast to it, and I envision, putting a body of work together at some point that is helpful for people. But anyway, so the scope of self-deception. Basically, anything that is not conscious for us, and we do things that aren't conscious all the time. The way I see it, anything that is not conscious is basically a self-deception. And comes as a result of us going against that light. Oh, by the way, I was thinking about the light, and we talked last time about the light of Christ, which is a real thing, and which I kind of proposed. I was like, I basically said, is it not the light of Christ? Is it not? Surely. It's the thing that, is there and all through us and part of us and gives us life and our lights our understanding. And is that not what we go against? And then I thought, well, but the light of Christ isn't the only source of light that we have, right? There's the Holy Ghost, and it can reveal. It's a revealer and a revelator. We get light from it. We get light from our eyes, the things that we see. When we explore the world around us and dig up dinosaur bones and whatever else we find in science and everything, that's light. There's no reason to think that what we see isn't anyway. There and what we hear, that's light, is it not? Didn't we read this? Well, I know we did. I'm just saying that. We read the scripture where it says that whatsoever maketh manifest is light. So light can also be things we hear, because that makes manifest. Things we touch. Oh, what other senses do we have? Smell, taste. It's all light, because it all makes manifest. So we have our five senses. We know that. But a lot of people don't know that we have the light of Christ. And we have the Holy Ghost. And those are also sources of knowledge. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't know about. And those of us who do often live beneath our privileges. in that way. But anyway, all I'm saying is maybe what we go against could be any source of light, because that, you know, becomes part of our being, part of our, you know, our spirit, our intelligence that we have. I mean, we are intelligence fundamentally. We were intelligence before we had a spirit body. And then after that, we had a physical body. So, like I said, I want to help you understand kind of the vastness of this thing I'm calling self-deception. It's really kind of every day, all the time. Everybody does it, is doing it to one extent or another. Even the most, you know, perfect man, and nobody's perfect, but even so, that way I can say that even the most perfect man is does it to some extent, because he's not perfect. There's one perfect guy, and he was Jesus. The rest of us self-deceive. We have, to the extent that we're not perfect, we self-deceive, because anything you do that's wrong or that's a mistake, that's the definition of a mistake. Anything that basically goes against the light of Christ or any of those forms of light, I guess. We got to think about that. I got to think about that. We got to think about that thing about light. But I think it might be right. In any case, let's put it this way. We read in Bond, the book, The Bonds That Make Us Free by Terry Warner. We read about kind of how you are when you see other people for who they really are. In other words, or as I might say, how God sees them, which is, you know, you care about them, their needs are important to you, you feel their pain and their joy, and, you know, all that you're connected with. That's how, I mean, to the extent that we don't feel love and respect for other people around us, we're self-deceived. I mean, we're not seeing things right. And that doesn't mean I don't think we have to walk around being our hearts just swollen with love and everything every second of every day. I don't know if that's how Jesus was. Maybe. But I don't know. There are many things I don't know. All right, so before I kind of say these examples that I've tried to write down to try to help you understand and me understand how this goes, there's a scripture that comes to mind that I want to share, and it goes like this. The whole world lieth in sin and groaneth under darkness and under the bondage of sin. So the whole, well, I'll keep reading and it'll kind of repeat itself. And by this you may know they are under the bondage of sin, because they come not unto me. This is Christ speaking, of course. For whoso cometh not unto me is under the bondage of sin. And whoso receiveth not my voice is not acquainted with my voice and is not of me. And by this you may know the righteous from the wicked, and that the whole world groaneth under sin and darkness even now. And of course that's talking about real sin, I think, and that kind of darkness, not coming unto Christ. There are people who have the light of the gospel and are, you know, I think doing their best, kind of like me, and who have problems and who have issues and, you know, maybe, you know, all different forms of self-deception and going on, and that's just part of life. Good reasons to go to a therapist or maybe not, or maybe take medication, or, you know, we're all struggling to do our best, and you gotta do what you gotta do. But okay, so let's go to these examples, a few that I can think of, and I don't know why I started with this one, because it's gonna be so controversial. Okay, so here I go to my list that I'm trying to start to make. And the idea is to compile kind of a body of knowledge, kind of a guide, so you can, you know, potentially look at one of these ailments, you might say, and be like, okay, so this is what's going on, and these are the thoughts and feelings that are associated with that, and this is how I'm justifying myself, and okay, I can see that, and this is how what I do to, you know, get out of it or whatever. Something like that. And the first one I have, I don't know if I should start with this one or not, but this is what I started with, and it's depression. So a description, let's see, everything the literature says, prolonged emptiness of feeling and emptiness of being accompanied by thoughts of confusion, worthlessness, etc. I have here the root cause, violation of conscience, whatever you're doing, violation of that light, as we spoke of, refusal to acknowledge / live / express one's own emotions, unacceptable emotions, that is, due to pride. Don't know if I should say that, because for one thing, it's just so normal and so, I think it is. This is just maybe my own little theory. So I don't know why I put it first, but and it just deserves probably more time and stuff. But anyway, here it is, depression. This is my little theory of what causes it. It's a feeling of emptiness and everything, and it's a refusal to acknowledge / live / express one's own unacceptable emotions because you think they're not acceptable. Right? But the root of that is technically pride. But pride is nothing more or less than the ultimate. It's at the root of everything bad. Right? It's the universal sin, as Taft Benson said. It's the great vice. So, it's not saying that, please don't take me to be saying that depression is based on pride. Everything's based on pride. Every bad thing is, I guess. But I still feel like I'm probably sending the wrong message here. Anyway, okay, what's the self-deception? Erasing of self, quote-unquote, necessitates creating a world where the self does not exist, where there is not room for the self, where the self is worthless, where the unacceptable feelings don't exist. So, the thing you did wrong was you didn't respect yourself, basically. You kind of denied yourself. You didn't allow yourself to express yourself or express your emotions or have certain emotions that you thought weren't acceptable to you or maybe others. So you suppress those. And the result is depression. That's just my theory, okay? I don't know if it's right for sure, but everybody's welcome to think about it for themselves. So, So in order to suppress yourself, you need to create a world where that's okay. You need to justify that. And in that world, you're not worthy of, the self is worthless. There's not room for the self in that world. It's not respected. And those unacceptable feelings don't exist in that world. Of course, you never felt that way. Okay, the solution I have here, restore in touchness with one's true feelings, discover them, acknowledge them, process / experience them fully, like your anger or your sadness that you feel that you're suppressing. I don't know what else you might be suppressing, and I don't know if that's fully the right solution. Restore in touchness with one's true feelings, discover them, acknowledge them, process / experience them fully. But I feel like there's something to that, at least. Writing or talking with somebody, therapy, whatever, get in touch with yourself and respect yourself. however you need to do that. That might be really hard to learn, actually. I feel like I'm kind of in that boat in some ways. Well, I know I am. I feel like I'm talking really quiet because this mic is turned up so loud or something like that. Okay, next one, anxiety. So we did depression. Why not move right on to anxiety, the second most, or if not first most, common ailment of society, or our society at least today. So description, feelings of anxiousness / nervousness accompanied by thoughts of confusion, worthlessness, etc. So it's a lot like depression, but I feel like it's more based on fear. It's like, I mean, it's fear, or fear-based. I'm in my infancy in the understanding of this. So I have root cause, giving in to fear. Solution, maybe get in touch with whatever you're afraid of, / choose not to take the stance of fear, be bold, look to God, etc. So part of my intention here is to try to see if there's a pattern with all these ailments where there's, you know, something you're going against, you know, the light that you're going against, what the justification is for what you're going against. And I feel like something's good, or some kind of understanding's got to come out of this exercise. Okay. Anyway, so that's maybe what anxiety would be, how you're going against the light, because the truth is you should not fear, right? God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So, but you're going with the fear. But that's not from God, right? It's a lie. That whole feeling and the thoughts that accompany it of fear, just, it's never right, actually. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's Paul who said that. So you're twisting the world in a way that it's scary, and you're not, and maybe you're not, you know, sufficient to face your fears, but with God you are. So anyway, it's, fear ain't, just isn't right. You should, technically, we should never have fear, technically, theoretically. If we were perfect, if we were Jesus, you know, we would never give in to fear. But we do, don't we? Because when we're anxious, there's an element of fear in that, isn't there? There's some, I need to break anxiety down a little more, because there's some disconnect with our expectations with anxiety. There's something about that too that I need to figure out. Anyway. Okay, so that was anxiety. And moving down, there's just two more that I have on my list. I've got four things on my list. Next one is offense. Offense. And offense is kind of a dual thing. If you're offended, you might get angry. And if you're offended, you might get hurt. You might roll under, or you might kind of get angry, rise up with anger. But in any case, okay, so here are the feelings. This one I separated the feelings and the thoughts. So feelings are hurt, anger, hate / enmity, rebelliousness, coarseness, and, okay, offense. Somebody calls you a name or calls you dumb, basically. Says something that's disrespectful to you that makes you, you know, feel dumb or whatever. That might be designed to, maybe it's not designed to, but you take it that way. Either way, you're offended. So again, those feelings are hurt, anger, hate / enmity. I don't know, when I get offended, I feel a little rebellious in general. I feel like, I said coarseness, I think, because I don't usually say cuss words or whatever. I just wasn't raised that way and never really picked it up. But stuff like that comes to mind, or I feel like doing that. And honestly, in my adulthood, I've let a few things slip as the stress has mounted greatly. And I don't know, that's just the fact. Okay, so offense, there's the feelings, the thoughts that are accompanied with those feelings. I have been wronged. The person who did this to me is bad. And what I gave was just an example of offense. Much more serious things can be done to you, let's say, to offend you, right? Abuse of every kind, you know, just think of the worst thing you can think of. You're going to be offended. Well, if you're not Jesus, and to the extent that you're not Jesus, I guess. But you cannot be offended, and we can, through his power, I would say, be forgiving or just not be offended. That we can do that too, even when somebody does a terrible thing to us or does something, you know, really bad that affects us, if we should say it that way, or causes us pain or whatever we want to say. The offense is very broad. Here are the thoughts again. I have been wronged. The person who did this to me is bad, evil, and dumb, right? And nonsensical. My negative emotions are caused by that person and are inescapable as long as the person is not avenged or whatever. That's just what I wrote. But I hope you're thinking about this with me. Okay, thing you did / are doing wrong. Be offended. That's what you did wrong. /, take on all those thoughts and feelings, give in to them, whatever. So as I do this, and as you think about this, one of the things I think you learn is that the thing you did wrong is really the whole thing. Like, it's not like you did something wrong and then you justify it by taking on all these thoughts and this attitude and thoughts and feelings, right? Because that's kind of the easy way to think about it. You violate the light, you do something wrong, and when you do that, you take on this other set of emotions or feelings to justify what you did. Okay, you took a candy bar and you think, you know, you have these thoughts and feelings that go with that. Like, your thoughts are, oh, person who owns this store doesn't need more money, believe me. They're not going to notice this. Or, you know, the store ripped me off one time, or whatever it is you have to think in order to justify yourself for taking that candy bar. Like, that's, you can kind of separate that one. You take the candy bar and then you justify it with these thoughts and feelings. What one feeling might be, I really, really crave chocolate right now, whatever the candy bar is. But as I do this exercise, it looks with things like getting offended. I have to think about this. With getting offended, the thing you did wrong to take on these attitudes is take on these attitudes, right? Your world has changed to one where you don't love that person anymore. You kind of hate that person. You have an enmity towards that person. And what did you do wrong that you had to have that enmity towards them? Well, you had enmity towards them. You got offended. I mean, it seems to me like it's kind of one and the same thing. The thing you did wrong and what you're doing to justify it. See what I'm saying? That will need to take some thought. But okay, I have here how to remedy it. Still talking about offense. All I can think of is to do everything you can to prevent it, to be in a better mood, to not set yourself up for it, avoid people who treat you disrespectfully, but you can't always do that. Once you're offended, you're kind of stuck. Although, and I give this example where recently I actually was able to kind of reverse the course of that. I felt like I should love that person who I was offended by, and I was actually able to do that. And don't think that I can always do that, because I don't always do that. Okay. That's offense. And I'll do one more. Hopefully this is not going too long and is making sense. Next one is discouragement. So, is discouragement ever right? No. We should never, technically, theoretically, be discouraged. And to the extent that we are Jesus, we will not ever be discouraged. But we're not. So that happens, right? And here are some, I have it separated between feelings and thoughts again. The feelings I can think of are listlessness, lack of motivation, sadness, fear, anger, etc. A lot of those kind of things. The thoughts, I can't do it, I'm powerless, I'm a failure, there's no use trying, I'm a victim, poor me, etc. So it's kind of a state, right? An attitude has the thoughts that go with it, the feelings that go with it. You've been discouraged. At least I think you have. I have. Okay, so what is the light that you went against? What is the truth that you knew was true and yet you acted contrary to it? So you have to justify yourself. The truth is, you should always try. You should never, right, give in to discouragement. It's just not true that you can't make it. All these thoughts, I can't do it, I'm powerless, I'm a failure, none of those are true. I'm a victim. Those are all just false. Plain and simple. You have great potential. You can be forgiven. If that's holding you back, let's see, there's no use trying. Well, there is use trying. It's always worthwhile to try. I'm a victim. No, you have the power to determine your own destiny, ultimately. I mean, we are technically victims of this or that. I mean, you could be in prison wrongfully. You are a victim, technically. Somebody abuses you, or you are a victim of that, you know, and so to speak. But what I'm saying here is, when I say I'm a victim, is just the attitude that you are being acted upon and don't have the ability to determine your own attitude or your own, you know, happiness or whatever. Well, I feel like I'm talking too much, and I hope this is worthwhile. I have the last thing, how to remedy it, discouragement. Try. If you try, you kind of thwart all those thoughts, all those false thoughts, right? 'Tis better far for us to try. Our useless cares from us to drive. Oh, no, 'tis better far for us to strive. That same thing as try. I was going to say, try and drive don't rhyme. 'Tis better far for us to strive, as the hymn says, our useless cares from us to drive. Do this and joy, all is well, all is well. That's a good song, by the way, when you're feeling discouraged. Really good one. It's hard to believe that song and still feel a victim. All right, well, people, thanks for sticking with me. This had a lot of stuff in it, and maybe I shouldn't have done the depression thing in here, because, like I said, and anxiety, because that's a whole subject by itself. But trying to help you understand how this self-deception fits in to regular life, and I mean, depression and anxiety are some of the most common things that plague our, at least this society, and offense and discouragement, that's pretty universal too. But you can, there are all kinds of finer examples, and I'd like to get into some more mental issues, I guess you'd say, that we all deal with to one extent or another, but some people more. And I hope you're not thinking that, that it's a sin or whatever to be struggling with one of those things. It's part of our world. If I haven't said it enough hundreds of times, it's part of the world we live in, part of this fallen world, and it can be tough. But there is what I would say in summation to conclude this episode, I guess, is that at the end of all this, you know, work that I might do, intellectual work, you might call it, building up this maybe body of knowledge and putting these principles together, at the end of all this, I don't think it's going to be some revolutionary thing where some magic solution is going to be found to get us out of, you know, depression and anxiety and discouragement and offense. There's not going to be some magic thing. We're still going to have to do, you know, we're still going to have to take medication for depression while we're dealing with it, maybe. We're still going to have to do therapy, you know, some people, maybe not all people. And we're still going to have to learn to treat ourselves with respect. We're still going to have to call upon the power of Christ to forgive other people. We're still going to have to work at it and strive and try it and pray and, you know, everything else you do and to get out of depression and the things they say. And if you look up depression and on the internet or in a book or something and they say, well, here's some things you can do to reduce depression, you know, have social connections in your life, or, you know, for anxiety, what would they say? Whatever they say, it'll still be like that. But I think this might help to clear up some things that probably aren't helpful and to make things clear. Honestly, I feel like the whole field of psychology is a little bit, it's really loosey-goosey, isn't it, right now? People, there's not a whole lot of discipline to it. We don't understand it that well as a whole. As a group, there are different ways of treating things, and we kind of know what works sometimes and what doesn't, and some things work sometimes and other things work sometimes and don't work sometimes. And it's just, I feel like our knowledge just is really not very good about it. And I feel like this is just maybe one thing that can be a solid, well, light, I guess, to illuminate these things, just the principles of self-deception and self-justification and understanding how that works. Okay, I hope you enjoy this episode. I'm Clayton Pixton, and let's go out with this little 5/4 thing. This is the talk. This is the, it should be no.